New York, a city where 8 million can scarf down their slices in safety, knowing that when pizza is close by, help is never far away.
Any luck finding a new place to live yet?
Well, you know, in this market, it's actually very difficult to find good subterranean housing.
You'd think even an idiot could find a place down here.
But no!
Wow!
And I thought all the really good dungeons were in Europe.
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new episode of Back in My Day. My name is Michael R. Power, and today I have the power because our regular host, David Petrangelo, is off gallivanting in hell. That's right, ooh. Ian. He's in hell. He's playing Diablo 4 is what he's doing. I know that because I was just watching him play, but it just came out today, and I know he owes a review for it, so we'll let him have a pass. So today Dave is not here, but like I said, I have the power. I'll be hosting, and I'm joined by
Ian Walter. Are you sure you didn't get doused in ooze, and that's just a cover story?
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I witnessed it, and that's what he'd rather be doing than be here with us. So, just kidding, Dave. So, all right. So, Ian. So today we have an exciting show. We are going to talk more turtles. So the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie coming out this summer. What's it called? Mutant Mayhem is coming out, and that sort of has really sparked our interest and caught our attention, and so we decided that we were going to rewatch all and review on the show all the Ninja Turtles movies. This is something that we did for the Star Wars movies. This is something that we did for the Batman movies and the Turtles. You know, nothing says Back in My Day like the Ninja Turtles. You know, you have Star Wars, you have Batman, you have Ninja Turtles. That's true. Got to be the three things. So we've watched Ninja Turtles 1. Go back and listen to that episode if you haven't heard it. And today we're going to review Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
The Secret of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze. That's right. So
as our good friend Robert of Stewworld Order told us or hinted at, it looks like we're on a steep decline from the first one going forward to the most recent ones.
Maybe. Okay, before we get into it, I'll just, you know, some facts about Secret of the Ooze. It was released in 1991, directed by Michael Pressman. It had a budget of about $25 million with a box office of $78.7 million. So it did quite well.
It's quite a quick turnaround, too, if you think about the original was in 1990. So
yeah. Let's just start with what are your memories of the movie before we get into the rewatch? What are your memories of the movie? I have very fond memories of this movie. Obviously in 1991, I was quite young, but this is the movie out of all of them that, I'd probably seen the most on TV. And, even though I enjoyed it when I was a kid, I thought the ending was bad.
I think that still holds up now.
But anyways, what were your memories of this movie?
At some point in this episode, we're also going to look to our gracious host, Dave Petrangelo, for his thoughts on Secret of the Ooze as he takes this journey with us through all the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles films. Yeah, I think when we talked about the ending being bad, I could recall it. So I kind of knew that that's what happened, and it felt familiar to me even on rewatch. But I think despite the ending, like, this is a big bombastic sequel that I really liked all three of these films as a kid. Even the third one, having seen it in theaters, like, I always knew, oh, this is a bit of a weird one in comparison to the other two. But it was still, like, if anything, this sequel felt like a continuation of the story from the first one in many ways. Like, obviously on rewatch, we'll talk about where it doesn't really hit the mark, but as a kid, like, I thought it was like, wow, like, it brought a little bit more of the fun to the film. The first one's a little bit more serious, a little darker than than what this one does. So I thought as a kid, like, I think I have really fond memories of this one over the first one. Kind of how you feel about Batman Returns versus Batman is kind of how I felt about Secret of the Ages.
Yeah, I think rewatching them really cemented to me that the first one is a much better movie.
Mm-hmm.
But this one still is a lot of fun up until the ending, I'll say. It's a lot of fun. So the things that stood out to me, or let's just do our normal sort of review where we kind of go through the three acts. You know, this is how we usually review movies on the show.
I will say, having watched this, I'm fresh off watching it, and as I was watching it, where I was giving Casey a hard time in the first one, because as a kid, I didn't really connect with Casey, but I actually like Casey on rewatch. I was missing his, like, he's nowhere to be found in this movie.
Yes,
so, like,
that stands out to me. There's no Casey Jones. Like, what?
Yeah, so that was definitely a negative. And when we talk about April O'Neil, this is definite recast. But I think aside from that, it does feel like this is the same group of turtles. This is a continuation of the story.
Yeah,
and the only difference character. Is that April in the first one seemed to have a relationship budding with Casey, and maybe, like, this seems like a different version of April to me, but, like, everything else seemed like it was, like, the same apartment, same continuation. I like the lair that they get. Like, there's a lot of cool aspects. So let's start from the beginning, where it wasn't clear to me how much time has passed. There were some moments to me that felt like they were just moments later, and there were some areas in the writing where it was like, oh, it could have been like a couple weeks. What did you think? Where are we picking up from where we left off?
Yeah, I feel like we're almost picking up right after. I almost feel like we're picking up right after. And actually, the first scene of the movie in that sort of deli or whatever they're in, I love that scene. That's almost my favorite scene of the movie. Michelangelo uses the sausage links as nunchucks. And
that is my most prominent memory of the movie.
Yes.
Probably because as kids, we probably start it, but don't always finish it.
Fell asleep or something. So that first scene, like you, that to me is like my memory of the movie, is that first scene. Although, like you, I thought the character of Kino was, like, a bit lacking compared to Casey Jones. So it's like Kino taking the Casey Jones part of the, like, human that fights
like
alongside
a
combination with them.
Of Casey and Danny, like, for the worst.
Yes.
Like,
yeah,
the
you're
worst
right.
Parts of both of them.
Yeah,
it's
so true.
But, like, so true. Physically, he brought a lot to the table because he's actually a martial artist. But I think, like, the character, the writing of the character wasn't the greatest.
Yeah, it would have been much better served if they just had Casey instead of Kino. I don't know what went into that decision of not bringing Casey back, but maybe they're like, oh, we have a kid in there, so the kids can kind of see themselves and kid meeting the turtles.
Yeah,
so
probably.
It's not
and
that
then,
he
like,
was terrible, but it was just,
you know, he's the
lacking compared.
Pizza delivery guy, so, you know, they love that about
exactly.
him, but, like, the girls don't. And he makes that joke at the beginning where he's like, where he tries to hit on the girls and they're like having none of it, and then he's like, well, you could be thinner, and, like, drives them.
I remember that. Yeah, he looked like a smart ass. So yeah, the reason why it almost feels like it takes place right after is because there's the whole Foot Clan, and they're in the junkyard. They're kind of in tatters, and there's Tatsu, the second in command,
right hand man.
Yeah, he's got the reigning of the Foot Clan, and you see, and Shredder kind of,
but it's
Shredder
seconds,
kind of
so
busts
like
out of the garbage, right? So it's like they thought he was dead, but he's not.
Yeah.
So it kind of seems like it happens almost right after the first movie.
But that's why it's confusing to me, because they make a point to be like, oh, these turtles are getting on her nerves. Like, maybe it's a week or something, because, like, there's clearly been some days where they've been spending time with April at her place. So it's like,
yeah, a few
not
weeks.
Immediately, but it's funny because they give Tatsu a moment of like, now I'm going to step in and be leader, immediately undercut by Shredder's return.
Right.
So it's just like the writing in this movie is a little suspect. I'm not going to
Yeah,
lie.
It is. It is. And then they have this whole, like, subplot that gets introduced about, you know, April's investigating the techno global research industries and their toxic waste leak. You know, that's sort of like the plot, I guess, the B plot, I guess, other than the turtles, that's sort of getting, April's always sort of mixed in with a news story that's crossing paths with the turtles. So that's kind of it. And you have the scientist, I forget his name.
Actually, Paige Turco gets top billing as April O'Neil, and then David Warner gets second billing as the scientist.
Oh, wow.
So I thought David Warner did a great job in the role, Professor Jordan Perry. I just, what's your read on him as a character? Because he does seem like a bit of a shady, like
Shady,
corrupt.
and I like rewatching it. I'm like, why wasn't this just Baxter Stockman? Like, why wasn't
Right.
this
There's a lot of
the
that. I'm glad you brought that up because there's a lot of that throughout this film where I'm just like, oh, they could have gone for the direct reference and they didn't.
They could have gone for the characters we recognize. And actually, I know why. So let's get into that. So Shredder comes back. He, the ooze is growing dandelions. It's the same thing like for the turtles. So tying in their origin story to a new story April's working on. So all that's kind of interesting and kind of makes sense. And, it's a decent way to go. And then Shredder harnesses the power of the ooze and to make these two mutants that
Well,
can take on the
as a
turtles, right?
kid, they were, it's what you just said, Baxter Stockman. As a kid, they were like the fill-in for Bebop and Rocksteady in my mind,
Yes, but do you, and I
but they
just found
weren't
out doing
them.
some research why Bebop and Rocksteady weren't used, and actually the filmmakers wanted to use Bebop and Rocksteady, but it was actually the creators of Ninja Turtles, Eastman and Laird, that fought against it
Oh,
because
interesting.
they didn't like the way Bebop and Rocksteady were portrayed in the cartoons.
Okay.
That they were like, oh, too annoying or too one note, and like they didn't
Well,
want they
these were certainly
did to,
that.
but they were, I don't know, yeah, they had like a different personality that was kind of like whiny, I guess, I don't know. So yeah, they are the ones that didn't want Bebop and Rocksteady to use because of their shtick. They said they're extremely annoying and silly to the point of being stupid. That was what they
Wow.
said about Bebop and Rocksteady in the cartoons. And so they didn't want them to be used. They wanted these, I guess, because they objected, they created these new characters, which was instead of a pig or a warthog and a rhino, it was a wolf and a snapping turtle, which a snapping turtle makes sense to be the
The
enemy of
snapping turtle was cool. The wolf was kind of random, but
Tuca and Razor,
they're fine creature designs. They kind of clunk around for the most part
right? I
in
didn't
the
like the
choreography, but
wolf. I did not like the wolf's design. Like,
he has like really crazy looking eyes. So,
yeah, like wolves have fur all over their face, but when he mutates, he has like skin face and where there's like no
yeah.
hair on it. It's weird. The snapping turtle, I think that's Tuca, looks great. I think he looks awesome.
yeah.
His spiky shell and the costume looks amazing, but the wolf, it looks terrible. It's like it doesn't even look like a wolf at all to me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think I had like good memories of those bad guys from the film, like as a kid. Like I thought, oh, they were cool in my mind. The fact that it was a wolf and a turtle. And then again, like I didn't really care that they weren't exactly Bebop and Rocksteady. They just like occupied that like that full they fulfilled that expectation in my mind as a kid. But now looking back, I'm like, I wish they had just gone for it. Like I know like you're saying there's a reason Eastman and Laird, I get that, but I think this film suffers because of it.
Yeah, turns out it was the wrong choice, right? Like,
Yeah, for sure.
well, maybe not the wrong choice. Who knows how it would have turned out with Bebop and Rocksteady because they try to bring them into the some of one of the movies, and we'll get to that. But I don't think it ended up being much
We'll
better than
get there
it is.
eventually, maybe,
Yeah,
if we make it there.
yeah. So like the plot of the whole movie is very thin. Like
Yes.
Shredder just wants to make mutants to fight the turtles, and then there's this big showdown at the junkyard, and Raphael gets sort of ambushed again, which is, but I don't know, it doesn't have the like emotional weight of the first movie. It's very
Yeah.
just like thin plot that kind of flies by and things just kind of happen, and it's there's no time like in the first movie when they're at the ranch to have that sort of
Yeah.
reflection moment and have that moment where your heroes are kind of beaten down and they kind of suffer and they kind of come back up, right? It's just that doesn't really happen
No,
in this movie.
and it's a good point. And I think like even both films, it seems like the structure was we have the idea of what the set pieces should be, and now we gotta fill in the blanks story-wise, and get them from A to B. But like yeah, in this one it's like it felt like they knew what they wanted the action choreography to look like for maybe 2.5 out of the 3 acts, but like it kind of just feels like they built the set pieces out the way they wanted to choreograph most of the fights, and then they kind of just had the story filling
Feel
in
that.
the gap.
Hey everyone, your host David Petrangelo here, just jumping in to have a couple quick thoughts on Secret of the Ooze. The gentlemen are moving along through the episode here with some pretty good thoughts. I haven't listened to the whole thing because I didn't want to spoil what the guys are saying in the middle of editing. I didn't want to sort of, you know, have it influence my thoughts. But for the most part, you know, it's really fun to go through all these Turtles movies. Now, this being the second one, we're going to get through them as the new one comes out, as the guys mentioned. But Secret of the Ooze is very odd. I mean, let's be honest. Like, what is happening here? What a tonal shift from the first one to this. It's just, I know that they want to capitalize, and I know that we even commented on our initial recording with the three of us and with Stu about how this is darker, more serious. It's not really meant for kids, even though, you know, it was right in the middle of the height for a lot of kids, myself included, of the cartoon being a big part of their life. And, you know, that's what I have always associated the Turtles with, is that cartoon version of the early 90s and these movies as well. But something how that cartoon is sort of more ingrained than anything else. But I know that that's probably part of what they wanted to do, maybe not go so serious, but they just went for the goofball and just went too far with it. I think there's a balance there that you could do. And the first one had a couple of funny moments, you know, some silly comments here and there and stuff. So it was a decent balance, even if it wasn't like, even if they didn't hit their marks every time. But it was still much better than what this was. Like, I just don't understand why they just decided to just go, I'm just going to keep repeating myself, just going goofy and just going over the top with it. Have fun, you know, go ahead, bring Vanilla Ice in. I don't care, you know, find a way to bring the hot, you know, song of the moment into it. That's fine, whatever, you know, create a song so you can have a soundtrack that sells. Like, okay, just do your thing. That's very 90s, very 80s. I kind of get that. The Turtles don't look as good, though. The action is, you know, a little bit better at times. But again, they're just doing silly things with it. You know, I think the story could be something interesting. But I don't know. I the opening I find to be pretty fun. I think that's an opening that I think I watched over and over and over again, and somehow in my mind associated it with the first film, which is clearly not correct. And it's fun, and there's lots of action. It's a cool way to start the movie. I think that first 20 minutes or so is kind of the best part of the movie. Despite Bebop and Rocksteady coming in later and all these different things with the ooze, it's totally fine. But the movie is far more passable than the first. I think the first, especially as someone who grew up with the Turtles and someone who appreciates sort of like different aspects of the Turtles and different, you know, takes and stories and all that as you get older, the first one is definitely out of these two the standout. And Secret of the Ooze is just kind of okay. And that at best, you know, every once in a while there's some chuckles, but for the most part, the laughs and chuckles you get are just because of how cheesy this is. And sometimes movies are so bad and so cheesy they're good, and that only hits the mark in this movie a couple of times. And that's unfortunate. You know, there's a lot of things in here that they missed out on, a lot of things that they just left behind, which, you know, the guys have already mentioned and will mention as the episode goes on. But yeah, it's just an okay movie at best, and that's pretty much it. So you know, I'm looking forward to watching the other movies, but I'm going to let the guys continue the rest of the episode. And hopefully you guys enjoyed hearing us talk about this, and hopefully everybody enjoyed potentially at least some of rewatching this movie or these movies. So more Turtles on the way. And guys, back to you.
Speaking of that sort of middle second act set piece, because we were talking about how they just kind of, there's not much of a plot. There's just like the big fight scenes and then the brutal ending, which we're going to get to.
We'll get to, yeah.
In the middle there, I thought it was interesting because I'm thinking about how the first movie affected me. And in ways, they do manage to do some things in this movie that they kind of left hanging in the first film. And that was the Turtles coming together as these kind of teenagers that need to learn how to band together and become ninjas. They're all like learning after Splinter. And in the first movie, they lose their mentor. And the majority of the film is them trying to get him back. I think they do a good job of like they're pivotal in rescuing Splinter Sure, but once they get Splinter back, it's pretty much, okay, Shredder, I mean, they fight him and it's cool and everything, but it's Splinter who takes him out eventually at the end of the day, right? So in this one, it's interesting because they're fighting and they're in trouble again. And who's here to bail them out? It's Splinter, and he's got the bow and arrow.
Right. Right.
And he saves.
Yeah, I love that scene though.
And so, in a way, I mean, we're going to talk about the ending and everything and the impact of it, but in a way, they gave these turtles an arc across these first two films that maybe if I was looking back on it was just one film, I would have been a little unsatisfied with how they came together as a team and didn't really make that much of a difference at the end. Like, they got Splinter back, but they didn't really dispatch Shredder in that way. I think this film has a major problem with Shredder as well, but like the journey to getting to him, I think they did a lot more.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't know if we've been almost too negative, but I think as a kid, I really liked the movie up until the ending. I liked the Tuca and Razor. I thought they were like kind of terrifying as a kid. I like they brought back Shredder. He obviously is like the main Turtles villain. The Turtles are great. They're having a lot of fun. Their banter is awesome. So there's a lot to like about, you know, the first, you know, 75 or 80% of the movie. But now let's get into the ending. So yeah, they have the big showdown at the junkyard and Splinter saves them. And then the fight kind of breaks into the club. And
as a kid, I think I liked like all the Turtles related music, but I was like, oh my God, could they have chosen anybody but Vanilla Ice? Anybody. Get Ice-T in there and it's a much better scene, I think.
But that Go Ninja song is actually pretty legit. Like, Ice was, you know, at the height of his fame at the time, and he is kind of like a rapper for kids in a way. So it all kind of fits, and it's cheesy now to think about it and look back, but thinking about it back in 1991, you could see how that kind of came together, right? But I think the big flaw of the film, the big sin of the film, is what happens at the very end, where
you
have this whole setup with the ooze and it makes things bigger and stronger. And then you have Shredder come back. And at the end, you have, it's like the set for the whole movie. Shredder gets the ooze, gets combined with the ooze, and turns into Super Shredder. And it's like the coolest thing ever when you're a kid watching Super Shredder. And it's for some reason, not only does he grow bigger, but like extra knives grow out of his like suit. It's like the ooze affects like his suit too. Yeah. But like the way that the fight goes with Super Shredder is so anticlimactic, so poorly done. Turtles basically don't fight him at all, and he basically kills himself by destroying the dock and falling into the water. And it makes me think when I rewatched it, like, what happened here? Did they run out of money or something? Like, why wouldn't they shoot a final scene of the Turtles fighting Super Shredder? Like, even as a kid, I wanted that, and I was always left like wanting more when the movie ended. Yeah. So what did you think?
And it would have been the one area where you could have shown them using their weapons and not really killing anybody. Yeah. Like, they could have been like going up against his metal and whatever. So yeah, it would have been a unique opportunity. I think this is what I was trying to get at, is like, I don't like the writing overall in this film, but the writing or the messaging made sense to me. Everything they were talking about, like, you know, Splinter wanted them to take in their surroundings, and it's just the execution of it, like in the choreography of it. Like you said, it wasn't really a fight.
Yeah.
That was definitely lackluster. But like the journey to getting there, and like the idea of them coming together and beating Shredder is great and all. It's just we would have liked to see them actually fight him.
Yes.
So they used the fact that they were turtles to survive in the water, whereas he got crushed by the dock. And that doesn't make sense to me either, because, you know, if we left it off after one movie, then, you know, the Turtles and Splinter come together to defeat Shredder and he's gone for good. Mm-hmm. But this sequel brings him back in a very comic book-esque way or cartoony way, where it's like, okay, yeah, he got crushed, but, you know, he's just got a scarred face and he's back.
Yeah.
Now he's got the added benefit of this secret ooze beefing him up. Sure, he gets crushed and his hand comes out again, and they're like, oh, Is it going to happen again? Not this time, guys.
Yeah. You don't even see him in the full light. You only see him like shadowed. It's like the only thing I can think of is they ran out of budget, honestly, to like film that scene. I don't know if that's, I didn't look that up, but like why they wouldn't even give you, they could still have the dock collapse at the end and, but still give you at least a cool fight scene before that, right? Like,
yeah, and it's almost like
he turned into a suicidal maniac, basically, because he was just like, I'll take you down and me. I think that's what he was saying, right? He was just like, it makes no sense.
He wasn't very smart, right? Because he had this opportunity to gain the advantage on them with the ooze, and then he literally starts breaking everything around him so that he crushes himself.
Yeah, it's. Yeah. Anyways, so I don't know.
It's a pretty wild way to end that. It's a pretty wild way to end that movie. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I don't think I cared as much as a kid. Like, it was probably like lame as a kid, but at the same time, it was like I was just happy to watch the Ninja Turtles in live action. So I don't think I cared as much as I do now. Watching it now, it definitely goes down in my books. Like, I think when I was a kid, I preferred the sequel, whereas now on the rewatch, I'm like, well, the first one's clearly the better film.
Yeah. Yeah, at least it has a final act confrontation, right? So, anyways, so unfortunately, Secret of the Ooze, for me, and it doesn't really hold up on the rewatch. It's still fun watching the Turtles. The costumes, they do look a little bit better. The Henson Company kind of improved a little bit. It's still great seeing the Turtles in live action, seeing them bounce off each other. But, you know, the plot of the movie is very meh, and the ending of the movie is very lackluster.
Those set pieces I found in the first one, I felt like New York City was very much a part of the atmosphere. In this one, it felt like they stuck to the neighborhood of like April O'Neil and the Turtles. Like, they didn't really,
and the junkyard.
Well, yeah, like they had the locations that they were working with, but like even when those two, what are they called, the Razor and the Taka. Yep. When they go on a rampage, and it's kind of like, it's kind of jokey. It's kind of like,
it's like one street corner. Basically.
That's what I mean. Like they see that, like the couple will get into a cab and drive away, and then they see the aftermath of that moment, and it's literally that one block that they tore up. It's just like, all right, well, it doesn't seem like they're a threat to the city, but we're supposed to believe that, oh, they need to get back out there and fight these things because they're going to tear down the whole city. But I didn't really feel anything about any of the villains in this movie.
I agree.
It was kind of fun to go back on it, but a bit of a not quite Spawn vibes, but definitely brought it down in my books from where it's
not as bad as Spawn, I'll agree, but yes, it's the first one I think is a far superior film. So
and
all right, so that's
the
it.
Ooze is like the scientist guy made off with it, so he's kind of still at large. There's still going to be a need for the turtles, you know, like going forward. So, it is interesting. Anyways, we'll see what Dave had to say about this one, and look forward to Turtles in Time, which I'm sure will be even more.
That one I have not seen before. So stay
tuned. I'm gonna have to have a couple drinks with that one.
Yeah. Anyway. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for more episodes of Back of My Day when. We'll be back soon, and we'll be reviewing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, which is the one. Is it called Turtles in Time? Yeah,
I think
I think it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, but they do go back in time. So that will be fun. I haven't watched that movie in a long time. So, anyways, thanks for joining me in. Until then, catch us on social media at Day Back In. The podcast is called Back of My Day. Find us on your podcast app of choice. Rank, review, subscribe. That all helps, or rate us 5 stars. That all helps. And if you want to check out our Patreon, it's patreon.com/backofmyday, where we review mostly what we do on there is review the Disney Plus shows as they come out. So I think with the new Marvel Secret Invasion coming out, we'll probably be doing that there. So check out the Patreon in time for that. And otherwise, thanks for listening. Hopefully Dave will be back next time talking about Ninja Turtles 2. And we also have our summer movie wager of 1998 coming up in the next few weeks. We plan on doing that. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Go, ninja, go, ninja, go.